Well, I love you all with all my heart. It's always a joy to be here. If you have your Bible, 1 John 4:14 will be our text. 1 John 4:14. The Bible says, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son." Boy, it's good to have the evidence in your own life that He's real. Amen? You've walked with Him. You've seen Him do a work in your own life. And then you learn who He is through Scripture. But the Bible says, and here's the message, to be Savior of the world. So it's the greatest gift ever given, but it won't benefit you if you don't receive Him. And it's a wonderful gift. It's on the table. It's for you. But you've got to receive Him into your heart. Amen? Hell's full of folks that's going to hear the same message that you're going to hear here this morning. Well, what's the difference? Well, they didn't receive it. Amen? The Bible says salvation is a heart matter. With a heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Amen? And so you got to take it in. You got to say, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I receive You into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior." Amen? I believe You died, buried, and rose again. That's 1 Corinthians 15. That's the gospel. God sent Him. He died, was buried, and He rose again. And the Bible says that's the gospel, and salvation is with your heart receiving the gospel, the good news, into your heart. It's crazy. You talk to people, and this is a soul-winning church. Everybody wants to go to heaven. A lot of people think they're going to heaven. And then you ask them that question, why would God let you into heaven if you die tonight? And boy, it's crazy what you hear. Where if you really know the Lord, it's real simple. It's because I've asked the Lord Jesus come into my heart. But for those that don't believe that, it takes them 30 minutes to try to explain to you why God's going to let them in. And I just like to step up and say, you're blinded. Yes, sir. It ain't going to happen. But, oh, I'm a good person. No, really you're not. Right. But my good outweighs my bad. No, it don't. No, it don't. All have sinned and come short. Right. The wage of sin is death. That's spiritual death. Amen. Your body's dying. It'll go back to the ground. But God will raise it up, the just and the unjust. If you die and go to hell, you're going to go there with a body too. Amen? If you go to heaven, you're going to go to heaven with a new body. So the idea is you choose. God's made it possible for you to choose. Where do you want to spend eternity? And where do you want to go? Because you're going to go somewhere. And you choose. Now, wouldn't it be horrible if God said, well, you're going to have to give me 500 grand. A lot of us say, well, I'm out. Amen. 100 grand, I'm out. But how can you mess up a gift? For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, I know that. You might know it, but if you don't act upon it, you're going to die and go to hell. So John is saying that he has seen the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. So I want to preach on that thought, Savior of the world. Now, He's a Savior. Christ sending for the whole world. What is a Savior? Well, four things. I'll give you three of them. He's a deliverer. He wants to deliver you from you. Because sin's on you. You're under condemnation. The wrath of God is on your life if you're not saved. Your spirit's dead. Ephesians 2:1. And you say, well, I'm alive physically. Yeah, you are. And you'll continue to live on somewhere for eternity. Because your soul belongs to the Lord. Psalms 24. And God knows if the blood's been applied. Blood means that your sin's been paid for and by faith you received it. It becomes a covering, atonement for your soul. So if you don't let Christ cover your sin with His blood, then you're going to have to pay for it. It's on you. Well, how long will it last? It's eternal damnation. Hello? Not a week, not a day, forever. Luke 16 says there's folks down there and they don't want to be there. And hell is concerned about you that's living up here. You say, well, Mom and Dad didn't go to heaven. Well, they wish they did. They don't want you coming down there. I got siblings. They were rascals. Well, they're going to pay for their sin, but they don't want you coming down there. There's no fellowship there. There's no high fives. There's no family reunions.
That's right.
No bingo. No shopping. No good music. No drugs. You're dealt with sin and the wage of sins forever. Sad thing is, he sent a Savior, but a Savior don't mean you're saved. So, Luke 2:11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Now, you all know Israel said, crucify him, crucify him. You got two men on the cross. One says, I see his worth. Lord, remember me. And God says, today you'll be with me in paradise. One says, I don't see his worth. And he died and went to hell. So what cross are you on here this morning? The one that says, save me, or the one that says, I don't see anything in him?
Good.
The one in the middle died for both. One benefited and one didn't. If you're here without Christ, it's not because he don't love you, for God so loved the world. But God committed his love towards you. Ephesians or Romans 2 says, man's without excuse. It's not like, well, he didn't speak to my heart. Yeah, he did. He did knock. Yeah, he did.
Right. Amen.
You put it off. Procrastination is real. One of these days, I'll get it, preacher. Hang on. Well, Bible don't tell you to hang on. Bible says you better accept him when you can. Bible says, for unto you is born in this day, the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Christ means anointed. He was sent for a purpose, a mission, that is to free you up, to liberate you. And then he wants to be Lord. He is supreme, but you might not be to that point yet where he owns you. Now, he's purchased you, but you got to hand over the keys to be fruitful in this life for him. He wants to be your Lord, but it takes time. It takes time to allow him to really take over your life. Now, it's a gift to you, salvation for eternity, but personally, every day, if you learn to live by his principles, it's a gift that you can enjoy every day because you can make better decisions. You can hang out with better people. You can, money will be a tool. I mean, everything changes when he becomes Lord. And it was years before I ever got that. Amen. So in this, he tells you and I in 1 John 4:14, we have seen and do testify. I mean, God wants to give you a testimony about what really Christmas is all about. And Christmas is Christ in you. Your neighbors ought to see it. They ought to look out and say, boy, they're at church again today. Your co-workers ought to be able to testify that, man, listen, something's different about you. It's not that you gave them a gift, it's that you received a gift, and it's Christ. Bible says that he's a Savior. Now, secondly, 2 Timothy, a church is being dealt with, and the Bible says, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior. Notice he said, of our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's looking back. See, when your eyes are open, you can thank God for not just a Savior, but our Savior. My family last night, we read the Christmas story as children in the family, our Savior. There was a time that I bowed my head and bowed my heart and said, Lord, save my soul. And our kids talked about the time that they gave their heart to Jesus. My grandkids are singing, you know, it's under the blood. I mean, 6-year-old girl on a piano singing it's under the blood. And I'm about to go crazy. Why? Because, oh, what a truth that our sins can be under the blood. And not only a Savior, but he can be our Savior. And so as a family, we celebrated the fact that we know this Christ to be our Savior. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:10, excuse me, who hath abolished death. I mean, what he's saying is sin had a stinger in it, and it's, or sin had a stinger in its sin. All have sinned and come. And I'm not perfect. I'm not going to be perfect. I was in a mess. But Christ came, died for my sin, your sin. Sin's got to be paid for. But thank God He took my sin on Calvary and died the sin. My penalty was on Him. So what Paul was saying is, thank God He abolished death. I don't have to go to hell. I don't have to face the wage of sin. I don't have to be under the wrath of God. I can be justified, set free. Why? Christ paid for it on Calvary. He wants to be not just a Savior. He wants to be our Savior. And I hope you can claim that as a family. Then thirdly, he says, I want to be, well, let me just read it. Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. She's talking about her own son. She gave birth, carried him. I mean, her womb was a holy of holies. Jesus, the baby. Amen? Bible says, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Verse 47, Luke 1. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Mary gave birth to Him physically, but in return she claimed Him Lord and let her give Him, give her spiritual birth. He can be a Savior. He can be our Savior, but He wants to be your Savior. And she claimed Him. See what He says there in verse 47? My spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. She bowed her head. She received her own son into her heart, knowing that He wasn't just man, but He was the God-man. God emptied Himself into Jesus, being not only man, but the God-man. I mean, He's all God, but He's all man. I mean, He was hungry, but yet He fed 5,000. Amen. He was thirsty, but yet He walked on water. I mean, how do you explain this? I can't, other than the fact He lives in me. Not only do I see Him as a Savior, and I'm thankful that He's our Savior, but thank God He's my Savior. And all that took place because I received Him. John 4:42 says it like this, and said unto the woman, now this woman was a rascal. Any rascals in here before you got saved? Bible says, now we believe. I got saved on Piketon Road, Milford, Ohio, Fairview Missionary Baptist Church in a revival. God spoke to my heart and I stepped forward and said, Lord, save me. And He did. Now, since I've been in the Word, I've asked the Lord to save me many times. Just because I see more of Him, and the more of Him I see, the more I realize that I want to make sure it's under the blood. Now, one time's all you need. But I still... Every once in a while, I'll say, Lord, man, I'm getting closer to You. And the closer I get, the more I realize You're to be feared. Yeah. Amen. You ever do that, Mike? When you're studying the lesson, it's like, Lord, I know I am, but just one more time. That's carnal. Well, it's not carnality. It's just we don't understand it all. But what I want you to see is a Savior, our Savior, but He wants to be my Savior. Has there ever been a time you invited Christ into your heart? I know you see Him in others, but He wants to be seen in you. Amen. You see others enjoy Him, but He wants you to enjoy Him. You realize Christ, I met Him as an 8-year-old boy, but He was here way before I got here. And you go back to the garden in Genesis 3. I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. What I'm saying is He was promised at the fall of man. God says, yes, in man's disobedience, I'll counter that with another man, and his obedience will give you back and much more. The first Adam took from you, but I'm going to send you the last Adam to correct it and restore you. And so I look back through scriptures before I ever was here. God said, I got a plan, and it'll take care of you. And so that's where I see the bigness of God. Oh, what a God we serve. And so in Genesis it says, it shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. Well, what happened on Calvary? Well, the heel of Christ was bruised because him lifting himself up to try to get air before he gave his life for our sins. And it was recorded about his heel. But Christ delivered a blow to Satan that rendered his power away from him. See, Christ is the, or devil's the author of sin. Amen. But Christ stepped in and overruled him. And gave us back life. Now, you can't benefit from that. We're all born in the first Adam. Romans 5 brings that out. And because of that sin of disobedience of the first Adam, we fall under that penalty. That when we give our heart to Christ in obedience, it overrides our first birth. And now we're going to enjoy the spiritual birth, amen, which is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. So either you're in the first Adam or you stepped in by faith in the last Adam. What's the difference? Hell or heaven? So he's a promised Savior. Bible says, number 5, he's a perfect Savior. You know why God had to send his son? Because you and I fell short. We're born in the first seed. Christ was born in the second seed. He's the Lamb of God, John says, which come to take away the sins of the world. Zacharias, remember that? He said, my eyes have seen. Oh, how I prayed for this. And my eyes have seen it. That's the sovereignty of God. I mean, there were thousands of priests, but God put him right where he needed to be at the right time so his prayer could be answered. I don't know how many times you pray, but God knows how to put you in the right place to hear the right word so you can meet this perfect Savior that can claim you as His own. Bible simply says in 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your father. What he's saying is it's not you. You've been graced. God's favored you. But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish, without spot. Now that don't mean anything to you unless you know a little Bible. You gotta go back to Exodus 12. Amen? And understand that not every lamb fit this criteria. It had to be a lamb without blemish. Every day, for what, 4 days, it was to be checked out, checked over. And then the blood was to be killed and the blood was to be caught. And placed upon the lintel of the door. And then they would go inside that house. And the death angel was going to come. And when the death angel came, he was looking for one thing on the door. And is the blood been applied? Did they believe it by faith? Did they react to what I said? Pharaoh said, I don't need it. Told his boy, don't you worry about it. We're the richest people in town. We got it. But that night, the first cry that came out was in Pharaoh's house. See, what I'm saying is money can't get you through this. Amen. It takes the blood of Jesus. It's not my blood, the blood of a perfect Lamb of God sent from heaven, entered in by Mary, a womb, amen. The Holy Ghost was the Father. God was the divinity of the boy. Yet it is three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They function different, but they're all one person. Amen. You can't get saved unless all three's involved. For God so loved the world that He gave His Son. In obedience, His Son died for you and I. And then the Word's preached, which is the Word of God, is flesh, the Christ. And then the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God that's preached and convicts us and brings us to Christ. All three of them have got to be involved for you to ever be saved. I'm trying to get you to see that thank God for this Savior who was a Savior. Our Savior, my Savior, a perfect Savior. And then the Bible said He's priceless. I mean, this is not man. Listen, you track man, we've made a lot of gods, but those gods couldn't help us. This God made us. You know why Israel was in 40 years of bondage? Because they couldn't understand the God that created them could deliver them. They made God with their hands. And never got set free. You know why? Because you and I struggle with this. We want something that we can control. But God says it don't work that way. When you get a hold of a priceless Savior, He comes in and takes over. Here's what the Bible says. And He is the propitiation. That's the atonement. That's the covering. For our sins. Not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. One man said it like this. Jesus became a slave man for us. Sin put us in slavery. I mean, we're tied up with sin. We're handcuffed. Christ came and became a low servant for you and I. What I couldn't do, He came and fulfilled it. I mean, think about it. Born in a manger. No room for Him. What was they thinking? Well, they didn't see it. That lady or man, whoever owned that place, could have had a great future. Man, can you imagine the folks that would have visited the inn if they were to embrace Christ? But instead, they threw Him out as if He was a nobody. A lot of the great rulers should have seen it, but you know who God sent? Shepherds. Trustworthy men, hardworking men, filthy. Matter of fact, they was condemned even to be outside of the priesthood because of their filthy lifestyle. They wasn't accepted, but Christ said, I accept them. He's telling you and I, money can't buy me. You got to humble yourself. If you want me to come in, you're going to have to realize that I came and took your place. Since you couldn't come to me, I came down to you. When sin would let you see me, I come and bore your sin so I could take that darkness away and put a light in you. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. I'm on the other side looking through. And you know what, guys? There'll be a time that all of us true believers will see Him face to face. And we'll live with Him. You say, oh, baloney. No, you better read your Bible. It's going to happen. I've got a mom and dad there. Absent from the body. We got a brand new body. Amen. That's going to be perfect. We couldn't have any of that unless He came and took our place. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood. You realize if Christ didn't become man, there's no blood. His blood was without sin. Our blood is tainted because of sin. But His blood was the perfect blood of the Lamb of God that could be accepted. The Bible tells you and I, not only is He priceless, but He's a precious Savior. Now, He's precious to me. When I got saved, I mean, I'm going to be honest, I just didn't want to go to hell. But you know what? I think we all start there. I didn't know much other than the fact that if I'm a sinner and sin takes me to hell, how do I get rid of my sin? That's a basic question. And the answer is, Lord, come into my heart and save me. So the Bible's clear. He's a precious, but He can't be precious to you unless you invite Him in. Hey, listen, here's my question. When and where did you invite Him in? Because all the things that I'm telling you ain't going to help you one bit until you get it settled in your heart. I know you think you had Christmas, but if you're not saved, you haven't had Christmas. You'll be paying that bill off until next Christmas. But this one didn't cost you, it cost Him. And it's life changing. He reaches all the way back in the past and cleans the slate. Amen? How many sin every day? If you don't, you're lying. Well, who stands on your behalf? How many gives the devil something to throw on a table in front of God? Well, who takes care of it? Who steps up and says it's paid for? It's not you. How many are going to sin tomorrow? I mean, we're learning to sin less, but let's just be honest. Unless you got wings, I want to see them. I don't want to sin tomorrow, but let's just be honest. I'm learning to sin less, but I'm going to mess up. Well, who's going to take care of me tomorrow? I mean, if you get right down to it, it's all Him. Now, we walk around like, boy, I got it together. No, you don't, you goofball. You don't have it together. You're not even close to getting it together. Excuse me, Pastor. It might have been a little rough there. But that's the truth. We think, oh, I'm going to come on. My, come on. There's window peekers everywhere. It's a private joke. Here's my last point. They're ready to play. We're ready for you to get your heart right and get saved this morning. You got a Savior that did all that so that you could enjoy what He has for you. Man, I go to bed saved. I wake up saved. I drive down that highway thanking God. Now, here's my last point. He's a permanent Savior. I mean, you know what I'm saying? He don't just get mad at you and say, well, you know what? You ain't worth it. He knew that from the beginning. And when you and I nosedive, he don't nosedive. And when you and I forget about him, thank God he don't forget about us. And when we get busy in the world and forget what Christ is in Christmas and we get toys and the tinsels and the wrappings and all that stuff, he realizes that we're caught up in something. But thank God he didn't get caught up in anything else. He's a permanent Savior. Bible says, whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life, everlasting. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now, I'm trying to make this as simple as I can. I'm saved based upon the Bible, which simply means that Christ lives in me. Now, he didn't jump in there on his own deal. I invited him in. I invited him in once I heard the story. Sometimes I forget how blessed I am, but that's why I like the Bible. It reminds me of everything that's going on that I forgot. He's there. He's permanent. Amen. When's death going to come? I don't know. I hope to live many years, but in all reality, life is pretty short. If I go to 90, it's still short compared to eternity. Now, okay, I'll be all right. I'm going to go to hell. Well, show me one verse where you're going to be okay. I'll do it. Yeah, you have to deal with it. But it's everlasting damnation. Every sin you've ever done, you'll pay for. Christ said, I paid for it, but I can't come in until you invite me in. If you invite me in, I'll clean your slate. But if you want to hang on to it, every sin is on you now. I don't think you have to be real smart to figure this out, do you? Heaven or hell. Now, the devil's going to say, well, don't get all bent out of shape. You better get bent out of shape. They die your age every day.
Right.
Every day. They make a casket your size. And your soul. What is your soul? That soul's, you're looking at me through your eyes, but your soul leaves, your eyes don't see nothing. When death comes, your body gets cold and ugly and pale. Nobody even wants to touch it. Isn't it crazy? We'll hug you to death now, but when that soul leaves, you're like, ooh. My brother cleaned carpet in Oak Hill in a funeral home. He said, I didn't know somebody was in there. I pulled the curtain back and hello. I said, what'd you do? I left mop and bucket. What is it? Death is, nobody wants to go there, but we're heading there. But your soul is you. And it will live on somewhere. Bible says two places, heaven or hell. You don't cast lots for it. You make a decision. And that decision determines where you go. Are you saved or are you lost? Do you know the Savior or you don't know Him? Amen? Okay, heads are bowed, eyes are closed.